My name is John Baxter. I was a Calvinist for 25 years, and then I found peace. Praise God. I am now giving my testimony to you as wonderful proof of God's mercy and His wonderful grace to me. I was born on 30-11-42 to an alcoholic father and to an adulterous mother. My father was continually cruel to my mother, and he continually walked out on her. My mother, father, my three brothers, two sisters and I lived in an old unused jail in a small country town. The residents of the jail consisted of about 23 persons. That is a total of two families. One day, when I was 7 years old, I saw my father drag my mother across the floor of one of the rooms of our house by her hair. He was continually shouting and swearing at her, and she was continually screaming. Another day, I saw my father chase my mother with an axe while I hid in fear behind a tank stand. My father walked out on my mother for the last time on 8-1-51, leaving her with six children to look after on her own, of whom I was the eldest. Shortly after that, my mother and her children left the country in order to live in the city. My mother still remained adulterous after my father left us. I used to ask our neighbours for food for my brothers, sisters and myself, because my mother used to go out of the house and then leave me in charge of my brothers and sisters. I was 9 years old. Eventually the neighbours became tired of continuing to supply me with food, so they contacted the Children's Welfare Department. And finally, in 1953, my brothers, sisters and myself were placed in children's homes and fostered out to people who brought us up as their own children. Before I went into the children's home, my grandfather, who was my mother's father, gave me four little photos of my mother, grandmother, aunties and himself. He said, "John, wherever you may go from here, always carry these four little photos of your family with you. Look at them and know that you always have a family, and that your Nana and I will always love you. Maybe one day these four little photos will lead you back to your family." In 1963, Jesus, my great and wonderful God, led me back to most of my family, except to my beloved grandparents, my Nana and my Pa, who had both died before I had a chance to see them again. When I was living on my foster parents' farm, I used to attend a little school that was attended by 16 children. I was 10 years old. When I was walking home from school, school children used to throw stones at me and then hit me with rulers. They said, "We don't want anybody in our school who doesn't have a mother and a father." My foster mother said that I must always walk home from school across the paddocks on my own. I used to wish that I was never sent to this school, consisting of cruel children. I became a very lonely and a very angry boy. In 1959, I accepted Jesus as my Saviour and Lord of my life at a Billy Graham Crusade meeting. My foster mother said, "Why did you do this? You have always gone to Sunday school and church. How will I be able to face my friends again now that you have done this to me? You have shamed me." In 1963, I changed from being a member of the Methodist Church to being a member of the Baptist Church, where I eventually met my future wife. My foster mother said, "You are no longer my son. I won't leave you anything in my will, because you will only give it to the Baptist Church. Your father was an alcoholic, and you are just like him. You are a religious holic." From that time, my foster mother wouldn't speak to my wife or myself for 10 years. She and my foster father didn't go to my wedding, although they were invited. During 1995, I discovered that my mother had still been adulterous after all of her children were taken from her. Four more children were born to her, who had two different fathers. Since 1995, one of these children, a girl, who with her twin brother was born on the day that I went to live with my foster parents in the country, found me. And she found my mother. My new sister is a Christian. Praise God. My mother denied that she had any more children, and her denial and her accusing me of being a liar led to me having my fourth and final nervous breakdown. This breakdown became very severe. I was hospitalised, was given electric shock treatment for a fortnight, then allowed to go home after 4 weeks. However, as soon as I arrived home, I attempted to commit suicide, self-murder, by taking an overdose of tranquilizer and antidepressant tablets. I was diagnosed as a manic depressive person, was hospitalized for the second time, then allowed to go home after another 3 weeks. I was placed on lithium carbonate tablets for the rest of my life. I knew that I let God and all the people whom I loved down, particularly my dear wife and our two young children. I confessed the sin of attempted suicide to God, and I asked for his forgiveness. And he forgave me through the blood of his one and only, his unique Son, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Saviour. Praise God. During the evening of April the 23rd, 1972, my father-in-law, who was a Christian, died of cerebral hemorrhage of the brain. He was only 55 years old. I loved him dearly. He was a wonderful father figure to me. I missed him very much. So his passing left a huge gap in my life. Even though my wife, who is a Christian, has made a tremendous impact on my life. I knew that a Christian man lived in my street, who did not attend my church, but that he attended a strict Baptist church. I belonged to the Baptist church, regular Baptist, so I felt quite comfortable in his presence. He had a wife and teenage children. His wife suffered from quite severe depression. We became firm friends. He became my second father figure. He invited my wife and myself to attend an evening service at his church, and then he lent me a book called The Restoration of Israel by Earl Holtz, which resulted in me becoming a staunch post-millennialist for 27 years, right up until I received The Believer's Conditional Eternal Security, written by Dan Corner. My friend also gave me a copy of the Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. I also purchased a book called The Puritan Hope by Ian Murray, which was based on post-millennialism. My Calvinist friend told me that he had great news for me that would help compensate for the loss of my beloved father-in-law. God had chosen me before the foundation of the world to believe on Jesus, to be one of the number of people who will go to heaven and then be with him there forever. My friend also said that everyone who is not a Christian has been predestined by God before the foundation of the world to go to hell with Satan forever. I was sorry for the people who would not be able to escape going to hell, but I knew that I must not question God. However, I really loved God, because I was one of his elect, his chosen people. I became and remained a Calvinist for over 25 years. About 5 years ago, I began to question my Calvinistic beliefs, because I really felt it was very unfair of God to send people to hell. according to His will, honor, glory, and for His pleasure. Recently, I have written a poem to this effect, entitled, O God, You're Not There. O God, You're Not There. O God, it's not fair that through Your firm decree, many people should end up in hell. O God, You're not fair that Your actions should be so directed to those who fell. They had never a chance to be saved by the blood of Jesus, my wonderful Lord. They had never a chance, for their fate was decreed by Your precious, unfailing word. O God, You're not fair if this doctrine is true of election as put forth by men. But God, You are true, and this doctrine is false. You wish no one should perish. Amen. Persevere to the end, Your true word so reads. Our behavior must be very pure. Show faith for our works, and we sure will succeed. Continually believe, and will be eternally secure. Calvinism is a false faith. It doesn't require a Christian to show any commitment or obedience to Jesus after he or she has accepted Jesus as his or her Savior and Lord. Calvinism is a dead faith, which doesn't produce any spiritual fruit and no assurance from God of salvation. If a member of a church shows that he or she doesn't have any faith, and doesn't give any evidence of having been saved, and doesn't have any assurance from God of salvation, then we can rightly conclude that this person is not saved. The gospel is free to all men, women, boys and girls. It is a gospel that is full and complete. The gospel is based on a present tense faith, which produces good works and gives assurance of salvation. If we continually keep ourselves in God's love, He will keep us from falling. Jude verses 21 to 25. Verse 21. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Verse 22. Be merciful to those who doubt. Verse 23. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating the very clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Verse 24. To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence, without fear and with great joy. Verse 25. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Jesus will come again to our earth in order to bring final salvation to those who will still be waiting for Him, who will still be believing in Him, who will still be trusting in Him, and who will still be obeying Him. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 to 28. Verse 27. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. Verse 28. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And He will appear the second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. This is the faith which saves us. I sincerely pray that God will bring about a new reformation through the readers of Dan Corner's wonderful book, The Believer's Conditional Eternal Security, applying the wonderful truths of Osnaz, once saved, not always saved. Conditional eternal security, Arminianism and Wesleyan Arminianism, the true grace gospel, doctrine and teaching, that is true Christianity, and speaking these wonderful truths to their friends, neighbours, and all to whom they come in contact. May God bless you. Yours in Christian love, John Baxter.